It's the new teacher woes, you know.
It's better off here.
I got my music on.
Are you plugged in?
Boys and girls, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you guys got to do better than that. Can't hear you through your mask. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's a little bit better. Hey, today is a great day for us to gather together and worship, and we are glad that you are all here. There's a lot of stuff going on in our crazy world that we need to be aware of and praying for. So be praying for all the people that you know, and if you would like, there's a list out there on the table that gives you some additional things and people to pray for and what they're going through. So please take advantage of that. We also ask that you be praying for Johnny Bork today. He's feeling a little bit under the weather and a little lightheaded in the past few days, but pray for him. So Johnny, you're watching. Morning, Johnny. And continue to pray for all those who have sick family members with Libby Thulin. Deanne's stepdad, his hospice has been brought in, and his mom, or Deanne's mom, and their family, respective family, has got a lot of work that they're doing to try to maintain him in the home. So there's just a lot of things going on. Jeff and Karen are traveling to Nebraska and back, bringing some stuff back, so we've got people on the road. So just be in prayer that God will protect and guide and lead each and every one of us safely to wherever he's got us going this morning. All right, so let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for this great day that you've given to us. I thank you for the fact that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that you are seated on high, and you are in control. No matter what we think, you are still in control. Even though the world seems to be falling into utter chaos around us, it doesn't matter. We just need to be your people following the light that you've given to us. And when we do that, the whole world can be saved. So we just ask this morning, Lord, as we come before you, you would be with all those people that are listed in our prayer concern list and that are on our minds and on our hearts. We just ask that you'd walk with them right now through whatever struggle they're facing. And Lord, we pray that you'd raise them up. Lord, if it's not going to be physically, from the standpoint of their sickness and what they're dealing with, Lord, if even that takes them, Lord, may we be reminded that even in death, there is victory, because we have overcome death and sin and hell because of the incredible gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and that we know him and we love him and we serve him. And because he is risen, we too shall rise again. So bless us this day as we worship you, Lord, in your wonderful and precious and holy name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, I need you to give me something real quick as you're standing up for worship. Say good morning to the people 6, 12, 18, and 24 feet away from you, all right? 1, 2, 3, get up, say good morning, everybody.
Good.
That's good. guys are doing great. And I just love the simple fact that the world and all of creation, and we as people, can cry out to Him wherever we're at and worship Him.
Yes.
When we see something amazing and beautiful, we thank Him for it. When things are difficult, we are praising Him because we are reminded of what He has done and what He has promised to do. And because of that, we can rejoice in who He is and all He's done. Because of the fact that He has loved us and He has provided for us, and we continue to do so. Sometimes it's for ourselves to make ourselves feel good. We pile up in a great big pile and we throw it before Him. And in that awesome moment, He lights it all on fire. burns big and it burns bright. And it's like a floodlight or a spotlight on him. Because when everything disappears and falls away, when all that we have built is gone, he will still remain.
That's right.
And we will remain with him forever.
Search my heart and search my soul. There's nothing else that I want more. Shine your light and show your face in my life. Lord, have your way.
You don't have to be rich and you don't have to be famous. You don't have to have millions or multiple homes. The only thing that you need in this world to be truly happy and truly amaze people is to have Jesus.
That's just a really strange thing to be praying with your eyes closed and you open them up and everybody on the stage is gone but you. And it's like, rapture! Oh, God. Anyways. Good morning! It is great to see you guys this morning. And Today, I want to remind you that God is a loving God and an encouraging God and a caring God. And I am going to do my best today to present to you a sermon that brings that out in a loving and caring way. Now, I try that every Sunday morning. And you know how that has worked in the past. But today, I think we're going to do something a little different. It's going to be good. Because the sermon title is about all of us. Almost perfect. You know? Everybody's just almost perfect. We're not perfect. One day we will be perfect, but that ain't today. That's definitely not yesterday. But the hope is that today we're a little better than we were yesterday. Right? That there's a little more polish on us, a little more shine on us, and we need to look at ourselves deeply from time to time to make sure that we are progressing towards the goal of being like Jesus. And there's a verse, and it's not in here, but I looked it up this morning because it just kept rattling around in my big empty head, and it's in 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you failed the test." I don't have a test in my desk drawer. Sometimes I wonder what that test looks like. That test today for me is going to look different than the test today for you. But one of the beautiful things is, as long as you're willing and searching after finding the test and taking it by faith with Jesus every day, you're probably on the right path. And if you're constantly searching and growing and desiring more from God and to be with God more, I want you to know that you are right where you need to be, heading down a path towards what He desires for your life. But you're not there yet, and you can't stop walking, and you need to keep going, and you need to keep looking inside and out and examine yourselves in those areas. Some areas you're fine. Some of you are fine, but there are areas in all of our lives that are not fine. And Jesus wants them to be perfect. We don't want to show up shabby before Jesus. We want to present to Him the best that we've got to offer Him. And we can do that. Now, He knows He's getting something that's been drugged through a world of sin, okay? And He loves you anyways. And He's going to look at you and say, "I can do some amazing things with this." And that's what He wants you to know today. And for that to happen, let's go before Him in prayer real quick, and we're going to dive right straight in, all right? Father God, I thank You for this day that You've made for us. I thank You for the fact that You created each one of us, and none of us are alike. Even when we have children, they're all different. They're all genetically coded similarly, but they are so different at personality-wise. And Lord, we love them just like You love us. And Lord, may You give us the strength to love them like You love them. May You give us the strength and the courage to love the people around us like You do. And Lord, may we be bold enough today to examine ourselves and see ourselves for who we really are, that we might stand before Your word of truth and we would look at ourselves compared to it, not to the person next to us or the person down the street or the person we see on the internet or TikTok or wherever we're looking. But may we just simply look at ourselves and say, "God, help me make that a little bit better for You." And start today, Lord, in us and through us. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. There are a couple great stories of people in the Bible who were sincere about following God, but every last one of them fell short. And it's kind of interesting when you look at those stories, they're there for us to see ourselves. They're there for us to be confronted with who we are. And it's okay to be confronted with who you are and your shortcomings, people. That's what Jesus is for. He's there to help you overcome those things and become better. He wants you to see those things. It's like that rich young ruler, or I call him the rich young rule follower, who came to Jesus. And remember, Jesus starts telling him, he comes to Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life type deal? And Jesus says, well, you got to follow all the commandments, right? And he goes, well, I've been doing that. Look at me. I've kept them. He's like, well, that's great, great. But here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to take all that you have and sell it and give it all away and come and follow me. Well, he may have kept all the commandments, but he was certainly kept by his possessions and his cash. And we see that from time to time, like that rich young rule follower, that people who want to follow God are oftentimes kept from following God because of what they have. They think that's who they are. You know, I love watching the American Pickers and seeing that show, and people who are got buildings bigger than the sanctuary full of junk, right? And there's this thing that they forgot that they had because they put it in there 45 years ago. I forgot I even had that. Hey, would you sell it? Oh, no, 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 no. I've had that for a long time, and I'm sentimentally attached to that. I didn't know it was there, but I got an emotional attachment to this piece of rusted junk. Right? And we hang on to things like rusted junk. Oh, man, we make Sanford and Son look good compared to our lives. But the reality is, if you've got something that's between you and Jesus and it's holding you back, it's no real benefit, folks. You need to let it go and say, this doesn't matter. I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what it takes. We think about Paul. Paul, before he was the great Christian leader, he was a devout Jewish leader. He was a man who was unlike any other. He was incredibly intelligent. He fought hard to defend his religion against those Christians and against this Jesus. He was a man who thought his background and his genealogy and his brains made him something until Christ broke him down. And he realized that being religious meant nothing, but knowing Christ meant everything. Philippians 3, 7 and 9, all those things, whatever was to my profit, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ my Lord, for whose sake I've lost it all. I consider it all rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. You know, what's interesting is Jesus asked the rich young ruler to sell his stuff and come follow me. He didn't ask Paul, did he? See, one, he, come follow me, sell your stuff. And Paul got backhanded and blinded off his donkey. And he was asked a simple question, why are you rejecting and persecuting me, Saul? And he says, who are you, Lord? Oh, you are right, I am Lord. And in that moment in time, his whole world changed. And he lost everything to follow Jesus. He gave it all up because following Jesus was the most important thing. And you know what? It not only was then, it is today. And you know, wherever you're at in that spectrum, you might be a super religious person that needs to be backhanded, blinded, knocked off your donkey or high horse, whatever you're claiming to sit on today. Or you might be a guy who's just better than everybody else, but you're still coming short. You're not there yet. And I want to tell you, and I want you to know that no matter where you're at in this whole game of life following Jesus, I want you to know that you're not there yet, that there are still obstacles in your way. And I want to share with you that there's a time, the guy in Scripture who was sincere about knowing God, and he had some serious obstacles in his way. But God has promised that if you seek him, you will find him. And he'll remove those obstacles. whatever they may be. And we're going to look at one such guy. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all of his family were devout and God-fearing. Now, they were God-fearing, right? Keep that in mind. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. And one day, about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send some men to Joppa and bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner." Don't get the tanner, get Simon Peter, right? "Whose house is by the sea." You know what I love about this is wherever you are at and whatever you're going through and whoever you are, Dr. Wes was right. And he's dead and now he knows all things, so now he's really right. But Dr. Wes told us to answer the question of what if someone is somewhere and never gets the chance to hear about Jesus. Dr. West said, if a person in the middle of nowhere has no Bible to read or preacher to listen to, is willing to seek the light of the knowledge of God, God will provide him with additional light he needs to find him. And this story is that story. It is an awesome story. It is a fantastic story about Cornelius who faced so many obstacles and God was leading him to the truth of the gospel and removing those obstacles that he faced one by one. And something that Cornelius had seen in his lifetime had taken him from being lost to finding more and more about God. It was like following a trail through the woods. And at the end of the trail is not the witch's little shack, but it's God himself. And the obstacles he's faced were many. Remember this. He was an Italian man. He was a Roman soldier. And not only that, he was a standout in the Roman guard. He was a centurion, which meant that he was in charge of 100 men. All the men weren't called centurions. Just the ones who were in charge of 100 men were the centurions. It says that he and his family were devout and God-fearing. But the interesting thing about this individual was he was not Jewish by birth. You see, what they're saying there is that he was religious and God-fearing meant that he was walking in the ways of the Jewish people, even though he was not. He had no name. He had no genealogy connection. He had no standing in the Jewish community other than the fact that he was in charge. He was a soldier there, and he had seen something that caused him and his family to be more Jewish than the Jewish people. Have you ever met somebody who has no clue about who Jesus is that's more Christian than you are? They love people better. They give more generously. They care more deeply, more passionately. That's Cornelius. You know, as far as standing go, he was better than the rich young ruler. Right? He was giving all he had away to help people. He wasn't keeping it for himself. He was stand-up guy like Paul was. And his acts of obedience and righteousness caught the attention of men and God. I love that. It says this, "Cornelius, your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God." He was taking care of the widows and the orphans. He was doing that tithing thingy well, and he was off the charts on the giving charts. He was Cornelius number one. He was like, the Jews are looking at him, "Would you settle down, dude? You're getting a little too zealous here, and you know what we do to those zealots around here." But Cornelius had been devout in his increasing faith. Now that's important, increasing faith. With everything he learned, he took it and he put it into practice and did it. And so did his family. And probably even the men, we will see, the men who served under him even obeyed. But he was continually growing in the light of the knowledge of God, and God kept leading him further and expanding that range that he could move. He was generous, he was prayerful, he was sincere in his faith that there was a God to be feared and respected and to serve. And you know what? Cornelius had a lot to lose if Rome found out about what he was up to. But he knew if he kept on this path, he would gain God and good standing with him. So this Italian Roman soldier had taken the light that he had and lived it to its fullest. And God took notice and was about to give Cornelius more light than he had ever hoped for. And God was going to go from a God that was to be feared and respected and served to a God who could be known and was a loving and caring God. And for that to happen, he needed a little help from a friend. God's reward for Cornelius' blossoming faith was going to come through a newfound friend named Peter. While the angels were appearing to Cornelius, God was preparing his messenger for the delivery of a life and eternity-altering message that was going to change Cornelius and his family and that region forever. So in steps the man, the myth, and the misfit, the Apostle Peter. In verses 9 through 22, it says this: about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching a city, Peter went up on a roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened up and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. And then the voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." And this happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back into heaven. And while Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. Of course he was. God said he was going to be there. You know, he's going to be there. But they had to ask. And while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up, go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them." How cool is this? God says, "For I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I am the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We've come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people." A holy angel told him, "You have come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." You know, it's amazing. It is so amazing to look at this story. That here is Cornelius living out his faith, doing what God's called him to do, being who he's called to be, taking steps of faith and moving forward towards God, and God sends him his number one dude on the planet. And leaves no doubt for Peter about what is supposed to be taking place. And it's opening up a door so that Peter could go and share the gospel. You know, sometimes God opens up doors for us that are so important and we take them for granted to go and to walk in and share the good news. And this was a dangerous thing. I mean, after all, the Romans were the guys who crucified Jesus. They're the one who nailed him to the cross. And this was a scary thing because when Roman soldiers show up at your door and they go, they don't just, "Hello, can I come in?" They're pretty demanding. Because typically when they came knocking, somebody was dying. But yet in this moment, it meant that someone was going to live. And remember those obstacles we talked about? Verses 25 through 29 roll out what one of the biggest obstacles that was in the way of Cornelius' growth in faith and coming to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said, "I'm only a man myself." talking with them, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "Obstacle, you are well aware it's against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" You know, it's interesting that the gospel at this point in time was not being largely spread around the pagans or the Gentiles. The non-Jews, and especially the Romans, were not the ones that the disciples were really excited about sharing the gospel with. But here's Cornelius. All those things, all those people wrapped up in one household of things, reasons you don't go and share. This is like walking straight into the gay bar, right? This is what people don't go to these places, right? But God says, go to those places and take my gospel there, because they have every much right and need to be saved as you and I do. Cornelius answered, 4 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m. And suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come to me. Now we're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything that the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Go. Cornelius had spent his life as being an obedient follower and doer. But he was going to learn something that was important. That sincerity and even obedient behavior can't save you. Being religious doesn't save you, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and none of us enter in under our own good works. The rich young ruler who did everything right still didn't get in because he had no relationship. And as we have seen with Paul and the rich guy and now Cornelius, God desires obedience and something more. See, I think that the church around the, well, maybe just in America, maybe it's not around the world, we've gone so far into the fact that God wants a relationship with us and he loves us, and we're all covered by grace, that we forgot to include the obedience to the God who should be feared and respected and obeyed. So I think Cornelius was in a great position. You see, he had the fear, obedience, obey, respect down for God. And in this moment, he was going to get something he never bargained for. He's going to get that something more, which was a deep relationship with Jesus Christ that can never be stripped from you, even if you lose everything. And that relationship begins at surrender, and that's when salvation comes in. But Cornelius had so many obstacles. He was outside Jerusalem. He was an Italian, a Roman, a pagan, a soldier. And Peter, too, was one of those incredible obstacles. He was following the rules of religion and saying, you know, our laws say that we shouldn't even talk or associate with you. I shouldn't go to places like this and tell you this gospel message. But God has said that all those people that we have felt for so long that we shouldn't go to and share the gospel with, those are the very ones he's telling us to go to with the gospel message. And to stay huddled up in our little homes and our hideaways and our churches is not what God desires of us. He says, if you really believe me and my gospel message that it's for all people, then you really need to go to them and share the good news, even if it costs you everything. Acts chapter 10, 15 through 16. The voice spoke a second time, "Do not call anything pure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back from heaven. Peter had this incredible obstacle. Don't go to those people. And God shows him, and it took three times to finally get through to Peter, that he says, look, either Jesus came for every last man, woman, and child on this planet, no matter what they've done wrong, or he's not come for one of us. Either he died for the sins of all the world that all men might come to him and be saved, or none of us have any hope. Peter had to learn that the gospel was not exclusive, keeping those people out, but all-inclusive, meaning that whosoever comes to him means whoever comes to him can be saved. And he was reluctant, but he was obedient to what God told him to do. And it's beautiful because in verse 34 through 43, it says this, "Then Peter began to speak." It's kind of like, all right, you want to hear what I have to say? I'm going to tell you. Here we go. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went out doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are all witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And they killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead and on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all people, but by the witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one God appointed as judge of the living and dead, and all the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." And guess what happened? Nothing. Right? It's like a normal church service on a Sunday morning. Nothing happens. Oh, Pastor, that was such a good sermon. It really challenged me. Made me think about what I'm living. I'm going to go home. I'm going to think about this a little more. And then nothing happens, right? No. No, you see, when they had been seeking after God and they had been searching after him and following the light that God kept putting in front of them, when they heard the gospel message that their sins could be forgiven and it didn't matter who they were or what they were done, that they would be received by God, verses 43 through 48, "All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name." And it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water?" The answer was no. "They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few more days. So Peter's preaching, "You must know Jesus Christ to be saved. He's the only way. He's the truth." What is going on around here? God, quit interrupting my sermon. These people heard the good news and got saved, and God showed it as true. What was interesting is the same evidence given to them about speaking in tongues in the upper room and sent them out the door to speak to the world was given in that moment to reassure Peter that what he was doing was really okay, sharing the gospel with these pagans. These outcasts who were seeking God and were obedient to God and his word, came to know Jesus. Jesus had challenged the disciples and everyone who heard in Matthew 5:20, I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. What was interesting is Cornelius was doing it so well, and God was paying attention and going, man, this guy is almost there. He's almost got it. He's on the verge. He desires to know me, and I'm going to blow his mind and tell him all about Jesus. See, ladies and gentlemen, they had not heard about the Savior and the gospel, but when they did, those whosoevers became the who's who of the Savior. And they had faith in and obedience to God, and they combined that with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it resulted in the salvation of every one of them who heard, to the amazement of those who were already following Jesus. They're like, how is this happening? Ever been astonished by the gospel? You know, some of you might look down on me for this. Remember, you know, I'm friends with Howard Helms, and you guys can pray for me about that. But Howard came into my office this week, and he says, I need to tell you a joke. This guy dies, and he goes to heaven. Well, he thinks he's in heaven, because when he gets there, he looks around, and he sees this adulterer. And he looks, and he sees this guy who cheated him on a business deal. And he sees this woman that he had seen before. Wink, wink. And there's no rejoicing. There's no singing. It looks like it might be. Something's up and something's wrong. And so he asked one of the guys he knew there, he said, what's going on? I thought this was heaven, but I didn't think most of you were going to be here. And with that, the guy was, well, it was just like heaven, but when you walked in, everybody was so shocked that you were here, they all quit singing. You know what? I think there's something in that. There are going to be people who are absolutely shocked to see some of us in heaven. And we are going to be absolutely shocked, because there are religious and obedient people to the rules who aren't going to be there, because they don't, like the rich young ruler, know Jesus. They haven't surrendered to him. And when Jesus comes back, they'll be lost. I love that. When Peter said, he commanded us to preach the gospel and testify that he is the one of whom God appointed as judge of the living and dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. And they believed and were forgiven and were saved. So I think we're left with a few questions that need to be answered for each one of us. Who can be saved? Who is it that can be saved? Anyone, everyone. If you're still breathing, you still got opportunity. If they're still breathing, no matter what they've done, they've still got opportunity. Now, my question, this one's not on there. I wrote this one down today. We all have a list of people that we don't think can be saved, don't we? Tried before, I don't know if it's worth my effort or time. You know, probably most of us have been on somebody's not going to be saved list anyways. And it comes back to the question of how are we saved? And I don't care how bad they reboot the TV show, Saved by the Bell doesn't work. We are saved by grace through faith, not by works. Cornelius was doing good works and living righteously, but he was not righteous because he had not received Jesus. But when he came to know who Jesus was in the gospel, he got right with Jesus and was saved. Because he put his faith and trust in what Jesus could do, which was what he couldn't. So go back and read your Ephesians at chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, and be reminded of that yourself. I don't care how good you are and how much you give to the church and how you're always there to help and serve. Make sure that your faith is where it's supposed to be, in him and not what you're doing. But make sure that your faith in him spurs you on to do those good things and continue to do them. And I got wondering about that centurion. How did he even begin to start down that path following God and seeking after God? I kind of wonder, there's another spot in the great story about Jesus where a centurion is mentioned. Jesus has been crucified. He said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." He dies. There's a great earthquake, and it's all ugly. And in Matthew 27:54, there was a guy there. It says, when the centurion and those who were with him were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Something changed in that centurion's life. I wonder if that was Cornelius. I can't guarantee it, but it's kind of cool to think maybe, just maybe, that in that moment of darkness, a little beam of light came into Cornelius' life. And that took him one step further down the path to meeting God. You know, another problem we've got to ask and a question we've got to answer is, how many obstacles have you and I placed in front of people keeping them from hearing the gospel? What is going on in us as a church, that is keeping people from hearing the good news about Jesus? Where are we falling short in the go into all the world and make disciples? What walls have we put up? Lord, send me the little kids because they're a lot easier to tell about Jesus. Don't send me to the bars or those really bad people. You know, the ones on my other list. Who are we keeping from hearing the gospel? Because that's an obstacle that they can't overcome until we do. Now, I wrote some more questions. You guys can just answer with a yes or a no. Can a murderer be saved? Drunkard, good. Homosexuals? Yes. Adulterers? Good news there, right? Those who have sex outside of marriage and have problems with lust and pornography, can they be saved? If you think those were covering over the edge, hang on. Can a sex trafficker be saved? Ooh, you guys aren't as fast on that one. What about a prostitute? A country? How about you? Can you be saved? See, if Jesus can save those kinds of people, he can save you and he can save me. Because none of us deserve it, but we're all able to be because he calls to whoever. And if we respond, we can be. One of my favorite passages of scripture that brings hope to people like me and you is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, or the adulterers, or the male prostitutes, nor the homosexual offenders, nor the thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor the slanderers, nor the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that doesn't sound very good, right? But hang on for the and. Hang on for the but in the story. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the beautiful thing is, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. When you come to an understanding of the gospel message, I want you to know that no matter what, Romans 10:13 rings true throughout the universe. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And for us to hold that good news back from Cornelius or anybody on that list that we don't want to admit that we all have, and maybe even we've written ourselves down on that list, because it happens, I want you to know that everyone, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, can and will be saved. Because either Jesus died for everyone, which I believe he did with all my heart, or he isn't able to save anyone. But it all starts when we come to him and we say, Jesus, I want you more than anything else. So, since we like to rank ourselves on a scale of 1 to 10, which one are you the most like? Are you the most like the rich young ruler? Or Paul? Or Cornelius? Maybe you're still searching. Or maybe you're like Peter. But I want you to know that Dr. Wes is right. And we see it in the life of Cornelius, that if you are willing and obedient to follow the light that God has placed in front of you and step into the light, and I'm telling you something, you got to walk all the way to the other end of that light circle, and he will provide additional light until you find him. And he will deal fairly with you in your journey. Have you exhausted that, or are you just hiding right in the middle because you don't want to go any further? It's time that we all act like Cornelius and put it all into work in our lives. And watch where he leads each one of us. Man, gotta quit preaching so long. But when it's good, it's good. And it's fun, it's fun. So the worship team is gonna come, so let's pray. Father God, there isn't a person on this world who started out in good standing with you. None of us deserve your grace, your mercy, or your love. None of us have earned right standing with you because there's none righteous among us. We're all just a bunch of sinners. And we're all saved through the same gospel message, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world and he died on a cross for our sins, that he was raised on the third day so that anyone, everyone, no matter what they've done or how bad they have been, if we put our faith and trust in you, we'll be saved. And not only that, even if we die, you will raise us up to eternal life with you forevermore. And that's something that the world can't take from us. That is a gift that only you can give. It's nothing that we can earn, but we have to trust that our Heavenly Father will give. And we come to you today by faith saying, Lord, I want more of you. I want all of you. Increase my faith. Lead me in the path of righteousness. Save me from my sin. Save me from myself. and raise us up in the last day. And Lord, we will all bow before you, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And Lord, may we be bold enough to go find someone worse than us, so that when we do get to heaven, that they're shocked that that person's there and not that we're there. Because you died for all of us. And Jesus, we say thanks. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand as we sing our closing song.
And Lord, I just pray that we would take you seriously when you told us to go into all the world and tell anyone and everyone we meet about the good news that they too are loved by God and can be saved. We might hate someone's politics, we might hate someone's lifestyle, but I pray, God, that you would break us down and that we would love people as much as you love us, and may we see them as you do. Because there's not one of us who wouldn't give everything to help one of our kids feel better, to get through some pain. That wouldn't do all we could to help one of our own. Just like you sent Jesus to help us, may we go and help those who don't know you. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Have a great week, folks. We'll see you.